This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area Monday, October 15, 2012. The first wave of Colorado voters will begin casting their ballots for the November election starting this week. Today, county clerks send out mail ballots to thousands of voters across the state. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Colorado voters have the option to permanently request a mail-in ballot. Many do. In fact, more people now vote by mail than go in person to the polls. Rich Coolidge is a spokesman for the Secretary of State's office. He says he thinks voting by mail will continue to be a popular option this election.
At this point, I believe we're going to see a very similar voting pattern that we saw in 2008. We'll remain in the 60 percentile for people voting by mail. And we're seeing kind of a drop-off of early voting.
A record 3.6 million Coloradans have registered to vote, according to the Secretary of State's office. Early voting begins October 22nd. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The West Elk Mine near Somerset has been given a temporary reduction in the royalties it pays to the state and federal governments. KVNF's Arianna Brocious reports that the reduction is because the mine has encountered some tricky geological conditions.
In September, the Bureau of Land Management approved a 3% drop in royalty payments from the mine for two leases. BLM Public Affairs Specialist Shannon Borders says the reduction is only temporary and due to geologic challenges.
So what's happened within the mine is they have hit a parting in the coal seam, and that parting means the seam split and they're mining more rock now. So they requested the royalty reduction until they get through that parting. So once they've gone through that area, they will go back to the 8% royalty rate.
The BLM allows for periodic temporary royalty reductions for a series of reasons, and they say the reductions encourage the greatest recovery of coal for the public. Mike King, executive director of the State Department of Natural Resources, says the reduction allows the mine to make a challenging coal seam economically viable.
It's a catch-22 because if it's uneconomic, then we get zero. And so we're getting something rather than having the operator shut down a seam because it's uneconomic.
Governor John Hickenlooper wrote a letter supporting the royalty reduction for the West Elk Mine, even though it means an annual loss of more than $1.5 million to the state for about 5 years. King says despite this loss, coal contributes other economic impacts beyond royalty payments, like jobs and payroll taxes.
That money reverberates through the North Fork many, many times, and the governor is just adamant about doing what he can to make sure that those coal mine jobs stay in the North Fork for as long as the resource makes it possible.
King says these royalty reduction requests come in occasionally when mines find themselves in tough situations, and the BLM has to verify that the challenges really do exist. The BLM recently granted similar royalty reductions to two other mines in northwestern Colorado for geologic issues. The West Elk Mine is owned by Arch Coal, who declined to do an interview. In a statement, Arch Coal said that the reduction will enable them to recover more coal, and that even with it, they still expect to pay about $25 million in royalties and taxes next year. For KVNF News, I'm Arianna Brocious.
State and federal leaders gathered in Denver on Friday to talk about ways to improve forest health. Lawmakers from both parties agree Colorado forests face many challenges and any solutions will require collaboration. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The state has come off of a devastating summer of destructive and deadly wildfires. But speakers at the Forest Summit say that's just one of many concerns. There's bark beetle infestation, watershed contamination, and the ongoing threat of floods in the wake of the fires. Republican State Senator Ellen Roberts of Durango chairs the Lower North Fork Fire Commission and says it's a scary situation. She urged the audience, many who work in the forest industry, to try and help policymakers find solutions.
What are the best ideas? How are we going to get our timber industry up and running the way it should be? Understanding ecological cycles or forest health and what fire means, particularly in our state, how it is a necessary part, and how are we going to go about dealing with the wildland-urban interface.
Roberts and others say the timber industry will continue to play a crucial role in maintaining healthy forests, noting that there's not a lot of money in the federal budget to remove trees. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
And in related news, On Friday, Governor John Hickenlooper announced that $1.3 million from the Wildfire Preparedness Fund will go toward recovery efforts in the lower North Fork fire burn area. Some of the money can be used to fell, remove, or mulch burned trees in the area. According to the governor's office, the State Forest Service and the Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management will meet with residents affected by the lower North Fork fire and gather input on the best way to proceed with the recovery options. Also on Friday, Colorado Senators Mark Udall and Michael Bennett requested that the U.S. Forest Service study the High Park and Waldo Canyon fires in an effort to understand the social, economic, organizational, and ecological impacts of these fires and better mitigate the impact of future blazes. And for our final story this morning, the Uranium Drive-In sign has been officially restored. The sign stood on the edge of town in Natarita for many years around the middle of the last century, an indicator of the economic driver and the area's social hub. As KVNF has reported, last spring the town of Natarita launched a campaign to restore the sign with an online fundraising drive. After raising $10,000 online, the sign was restored. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that last week the sign was installed at its new home between Natarita Sales and Blondie's Drive-In and Cafe right on the main drag through town. The town held a barbecue and ceremony yesterday to celebrate the restoration, which the Planet reports is a significant part of the community's historic fabric. This concludes the morning newscast. Thanks for tuning in. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.